You're listening to Star Wars Beyond the Films, the official expanded universe podcast of StarWarsReport.com.
There is a great disturbance in the Force.
You're listening to Star Wars Beyond the Films, a Star Wars expanded universe podcast for the ages. That's right, Whistler. This week's episode is our 10th episode and was recorded on February 18th, 2012. I'm one of your hosts, Mark Herleman, but am I the master or the apprentice? Well, let me tell you, I can't hold a candle to my most impressive co-host, a man who almost needs no introduction, our EU guru and your second host of the Star Wars Beyond the Films experience, Nathan P. Butler!
Hello, everyone. Now it's all going to be downhill from here. The living anticlimax. Now, how you doing, Mark? I am well. How are you?
I am doing good, man. How you been?
Not too bad. We've wrapped up the production on a couple of things, actually. My Greater Good novel, the professional publication of that, should be coming up in March, so right around, I guess, the time that people are listening to this. And we just got my second Wars novella out there called On Red Soil. It's a ebook, so it's on there on Kindle and Nook out there right now. So busy, busy times, but in a good way, in a good way.
Now, there's a deal on that, right? I remember seeing you can get like all five of them for $4.99 or something like that on Kindle.
Yeah, they basically have it set up where, depending on the length of the books, these are novellas, so we're talking about something that's, what, 110, 120 pages, because eventually there's nine that makes the broader story arc. And yeah, right now on Kindle, I think it's actually Kindle and Nook, I know for sure on Kindle, they're basically 99 cents for the novellas, so you could pick up mine that started the series, my fifth one, or my second one that's the fifth in the series, and then the three in between for 99 cents each. I mean, you're getting five of them for, I guess, less than $5, so kind of a neat little deal going on. I'm not sure if that's something from the publisher side of things or something that Amazon just sort of naturally does after something's been up for a while. But yeah, it's a good time to catch up on it, apparently.
Nice. Nice. Can't go wrong with that. Coming up this episode, we're going to tackle Phantom Menace 3D. Both of us have recently seen it. We're going to be discussing the pros, the cons, focusing on the viability of Star Wars in 3D. We're going to look at Star Wars comics that have come out in 3D, as well as 3D home players and much more. Don't forget, you can interact with us on Facebook at Star Wars Beyond the Films or on Twitter at at SW Beyond Films. And Nathan, you want to jump right in? I know you you actually have the 3DS. I mean, these are some game systems I haven't had a chance to play yet, but I'm interested. There's definite interest there. So, you know, what can you tell me about this 3D experience with the handheld unit and stuff?
Well, actually, the whole reason this topic came up, folks, for those of you who haven't been following the Facebook page, we did some discussion about what's going on with the Phantom Menace 3D, I guess right before it came out, and Mark and I are kind of somewhat diametrically opposed in our views, it seemed like, at least at that point, on the viability of 3D, but I think I've kind of come a long way on the issue of whether or not I think 3D would work, and a big part of that, just in the last, I'd say, year or two, has been things like the 3DS, things like the Sony PlayStation 3D display, as it's called. And I've sort of warmed up, I guess, to the idea of 3D. What he was talking about there, the handheld system, what sort of sparked this off and what is probably the thing that is getting the most play right now with 3D outside of theaters is the Nintendo 3DS. It's the successor, if you're not into video games at all. Nintendo released quite a while back the Nintendo DS, and it's essentially a main screen. It sort of folds out almost like a checkbook size thing, and there's a main screen on the top, and then on the bottom there's a touch screen, and you do a lot of your controls with the buttons off to the side of it like you would with any other controller, but there's also a stylus based or a tapping with your finger based control scheme on that touch screen. And they decided to amp that up later. They had a thing called the DSi, which added in some internet based features, and now they have this 3DS, which, again, still has those same controls sort of off to the side as if you're using a controller, and still has that stylus-based touchscreen. But now the main screen, sort of the top part of the checkbook, if you're opening up a checkbook, because it's about that size, a little bit bigger, is now in 3D. And this is, I believe it's called auto-stereoscopic 3D. It's essentially, it's 3D that does not require glasses at all. And that, I think, is where I finally started to feel wowed by the concept here. I'm not an expert in the technology. I would assume this is the newest most promising, I guess, form of 3D. But one of the things that, Mark, that you had mentioned is that you're waiting for this type of technology, I guess, to come to televisions. And the 3DS, amazing piece of technology. You play, I mean, the only Star Wars game on it at this point is LEGO Star Wars 3 The Clone Wars, but you could play Street Fighter 4, Super Street Fighter 4 3D edition on there. You could play, again, the LEGO Star Wars game. There's flight games like Star Fox. They redid the Zelda, I guess it was Ocarina of Time. They redid for that. But the thing about it is, you have to hold it just right. It works great as a little portable 3D thing because you hold it about a foot, foot and a half away from your face. You can adjust the slider on the side as to how much depth there is. Sometimes the game itself adjusts the depth. Resident Evil Revelations is a recent one that basically lets you make it a lot more of a 3D effect than it actually is intended to, because you can adjust it in the game, not just on the little slider. But if you tilt your head one way or the other, or if you, you know, move it too close or too far, you're not going to get the 3D effect. You're going to wind up seeing the different images going, I guess, that each eye is supposed to grab to pull together. You'll see them blur together, I guess. It comes unsynced or whatever the phrase would be for it. So I don't know if you could do that for a home theater system. I know there are TVs that are trying to pioneer this technology, but it seems like you'd have to be looking at it from very close up. I mean, is that the biggest objection of yours to the idea of the 3D, or the fact that it feels more like a gimmick, is that you can't, I mean, I couldn't walk around my apartment viewing something on TV that's in 3D with no glasses with that technology. Is that the big thing? Because I know that, I think that was where we started going head to head.
My big turnoff is when you're looking at it and you can't quite see everything. I mean, I'm new to the Blu-ray, and right now I am just loving the crystal clarity of Blu-ray. I really... When we got the HDTV, I was astounded, and I was like, okay, how much better is Blu-ray going to be? And, you know, now that we finally got the Blu-ray player and we got some DVD or Blu-rays, you know, that I can play on it, I'm just jaw hanging open at the, it's like looking through a window sometimes. You're just like, wow, you know, sometimes movies are more flawed because of it, but for the most part, I'm loving everything about it. And so when it comes to 3D, I don't like when I'm looking and I'm getting the cool effect where it feels layered. That to me, I don't know. It doesn't feel real. It feels very gimmicky in that regards, where it just doesn't process right for some reason. I'm looking at it and I got to really focus on it, and that bothers me. But then when I see these demos and stuff where you got to have the glasses to see it, everything looks like it's got like three images overlaced and looking bizarre. Now, is that what you meant with the Nintendo? Like when you don't have it so close or you're looking at it the wrong angle, that's what it starts to do?
Sort of, yeah. Like when I first tried the 3DS, I was very skeptical of whether or not this would do what it said. And my thing was, I went to Best Buy to try this thing out. And of course, my Best Buy, it's in sort of the more hoity-toity little areas around Atlanta, Peachtree City, if you know the area. And I guess because of it's sort of like the bastion of economic well-being around areas that aren't necessarily quite as well off. They do up their security more so than a lot of the ones, say, in North Atlanta. So you couldn't pick up the 3DS. It was mounted into the display for the test model. So I'm standing, I mean, I'm not that tall. I'm like 5'4", 5'5". But I'm standing there, and I'm leaning down to try it, and it's not working. The images feel like they're off kilter, they're layered. You can see the two images are meant to go to each eye, not lining up correctly somehow. Only to realize, when I went in there and actually got down on my knees and was at the right angle for this thing, it blew my mind, just seeing the different tech demonstration of this thing. So, yeah, it's that... You know, if you were to move out of range, you get that, which is exactly what you get with a home system that wouldn't, you know, that doesn't require glasses. At least with the glasses, you can move. You have more of a freedom of movement because it's the glasses filtering stuff out for you.
Yeah, and that's my problem with the 3D. I don't want to be dependent on a pair of glasses for everybody in my house to have a good time. I mean, granted, I really don't see myself throwing any kind of party with large numbers, but back in the day, I used to. And so, you know, you don't want to be the odd man out when you're enjoying a movie or an experience. And that, to me, I guess is the downside of everything going 3D. It just, like I said, with the Blu-ray, I can't even see a reason to buy everything in Blu-ray. So the moving to 3D, to me, it just seems like such a shove it down your throat process right now. It's like, well, technology's moving this way and we can do it, so let's do it so we can sell these TVs. I mean, that's how it's almost coming across to me sometimes, because it's like, well, we've got Blu-ray over here and it's doing moderately successful and everyone's saying DVDs are going to be gone, but yet I would buy like a movie like P.S. I Love You on DVD way before I would buy it on Blu-ray or 3D. So I don't see, you know, that need for everybody to rush out and convert to these systems. So there's that side of it too, where it's like, well, you know, okay, yeah, it's a cool gimmick. I keep thinking of it as a gimmick, even when I'm trying not to. I mean, I like Tron Legacy when I saw it in Real D. That was great. You know, and I guess we'll jump right into part of our 3D experience here. When I went and saw The Phantom Menace this week, I was not impressed when I was talking about it on the Star Wars Report. I found it kind of lackluster. I went to a Dolby 3D theater, and they had those little black, funky kind of shades looking, where they got that film tinting kind of thing on the background. I felt like I was looking at my eyeballs most of the time, where I was really having to focus to not see my eyeballs looking back at me, you know. And then when I was watching the movie, things felt like it wasn't in focus at all. It was like, okay, Qui-Gon was in focus, but nothing else around Qui-Gon was. Or the CG characters looked really, really sharp and crisp, and they were popping out great, but yet Qui-Gon right next to him, while popping out, looked very, very dull in comparison. I don't remember him looking that dull compared to the CG stuff before. So, you know, I want to say there's a definite difference between the Real D and the Dolby 3D. I did not have a good time. I mean, yeah, I had a great time because I was watching Star Wars in 3D with my kids. My kids were having a blast. I mean, my son, I kept telling him, you know, you got to put the glasses on, He kept arguing, no, I don't. But it was like, dude, I paid 40-something bucks for us three to go see this movie. You're putting those glasses on. But it's one of those things where when I went and saw Tron and I went and saw – what was the other one I saw? Avatar. When I saw those in Real D, those were my first two times seeing a new 3D movie. And I was blown away. My jaw was hanging open. And yet when I was talking to Riley and Bethany, they were talking about how great it was. Aaron was talking about how great it was. And yet I was like – it was good, but it was good because it was Star Wars. I had a real hard time enjoying the 3D side of it because of the theater I was at. I'm almost 100% convinced that the Dolby 3D just doesn't work for me. You know, I have other people that I talk to on Facebook and stuff that say that they loved it, but it gave them a headache and things like that. So there's that side of 3D that really I'm afraid to see technology and media and everything go mainstream that direction, because I see a lot of problems with it. And then you have that aspect where people are just worried about it being a gimmick. Granted, I don't think Star Wars went there. It didn't feel like it went there. I did like how things felt depthy, but again, it had that layered feeling. And I have to attribute it to just being the different theater. I mean, that to me is the only thing. Everybody else was talking about how great the depth to it was. And to me, it was just like, it really felt like it was like one of those paper moving comics, you know?
That's true. And we should talk, I guess, about the 3D comics here in a second, because I guess that is where 3D started, in a sense, with Star Wars. But, you know, I think that what happens, I mean, I went to see it, oddly enough, at the same theater that Riley and Bethany from Star Wars Report went to. I didn't realize we were living nearly as close as we actually do. But going to see that, I haven't seen a whole lot of 3D movies in theaters. I think I've seen that, and I think it was just, gosh, it may have been Superman Returns, where you don't even use the 3D glasses for the entire film, you know, where it's essentially, now is the time to put on your 3D glasses, and you see that couple scenes, and then you take it back off again. Beyond that, I think it was just Captain EO, for instance, for me, way back in the day. And that was kind of cheating 3D, because, yeah, it was 3D, but then whenever the ship crashes, they blow smoke out at you, you know? That's not 3D, that's just special effects.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but the I don't know, the thing about it to me is, I guess part of it, and this is something I would not have recognized had a friend of mine not pointed it out, that essentially there's a difference in how they shoot these things and what they and how the 3D turns out. I mean, I figure there'd have to be a difference between shooting something in 3D and changing it later. But it never struck me how much of a difference that there is. It seems as though if you take a movie like, say, The Phantom Menace, or Green Lantern, I think, is another example, or anything like that, where you have a film that was shot in 2D, shot on just regular cameras, and you go through a process afterwards to turn it into 3D, you're going to get that very layered type of feel to it. You know, you're going to get it so that the characters, you know, they feel like, you know, here's Qui-Gon's lair, here's this other lair behind it, and it almost is like the cardboard cutouts at different depths in a diorama or something. Hopefully not done quite that obviously, and hopefully there's enough layers to really give it a feel of depth. And I think Phantom Menace did that most of the time pretty well, giving it a lot of different feels of depth, especially with, you know, the big battle sequences. Although I will say it's a little bit bizarre. I mean, it feels 3D, but somewhat bizarre when you have them sitting around the dinner table talking. And, you know, Natalie Portman, you know, Padme looks up at the screen and her face is at a different depth than the rest of her body because the shot is such a close-up that that's the only major depth difference that there is between her and the background is, well, just it's her face as she's leaning forward versus her shoulders. You get that layered feeling and it feels like you're looking into a diorama. You're essentially looking into a box. Nothing jumps out at you. There really weren't a lot of moments in the Phantom Menace 3D that felt like it was jumping out. Maybe a little bit with the explosion of the droid control ship, but for the most part, it was almost like it was all hovering. You were looking into it rather than it coming out. But you take something like Tron Legacy, which I actually have at home. I have the Tron Legacy 3D disc, but I haven't even tried it yet, except for just a quick clip with my Sony 3D TV. We can talk about the home tech and everything. But I haven't tried that one out as much. But I have checked out things like, for instance, I've heard a lot of good things about Avatar. And the first thing I actually watched fully in 3D with my new system was Resident Evil Afterlife. And it was shot with the same cameras they used to shoot Avatar. And in that sense, you get a lot more than just that cutout depth. You get the guns that look like they're pointing out of the screen. You know, zombie hands and such that look like they're coming out. The blade of the executioner when he throws it looks like it's coming out of the screen. And even, I noticed it especially, there's a fight in Resident Evil Afterlife where they're in what should have been a shower area within a cell block. And essentially they're running around. The water's, you know, bursting out. There's drops of water coming down everywhere. They're fighting this massive, this thing called the executioner, at least in the game's called that. And there's a point where, gosh, I forget what her name is off the top of my head. It's Claire Redfield's the character name. It's she is turning towards the camera as this creature comes in. And you see a depth difference between, like, her face, her shoulder, or her face, her front shoulder, her rear shoulder. It really feels like there's true depth there, that you're looking at a three-dimensional object or person, not looking at different layers. And when it's done like that, it works really well. I'd say a good example of that on the 3DS, Street Fighter 4. You play a game like that on 3DS, and when they're standing side to side, even if it's the 2D version of the fighting as far as them just facing each other like a traditional fighting game, you can tell the difference between the front arm, front leg, back leg, torso, and every bit of depth in the background. And when something's crafted for 3D, it works great. But I agree, when you do the conversion, it winds up looking... I don't want to say it looks cheap, because it looks nice, it doesn't have that same wow factor. At that point, it feels like a gimmick. But I think if you're telling a good story, a movie that would work well as 2D, but you shoot it in 3D so there's that added way of viewing it, then you wind up with, you know, a pretty decent product, certainly. Where did you start on 3D? Did you start out with the 3D comics back then? Were you introduced to 3D with the red and blue glasses like me?
Yeah, those red and blue glasses, and I even remember red and green ones at one time, but I have never been able to get a 3D experience to work for me up until I went and saw Avatar. That was the first movie I saw. And like I said, it was the real D where you had those Buddy Holly style glasses where they almost look like there's little circles, but you could see through them perfectly fine. And I was just floored. I was like, wow. You know, I wasn't as caught up in the hype. You know, it was cool for what it was. It was like a whole bunch of just genres mashed together, but the way the backgrounds worked, the way that the planet was presented, to me it was like watching Last of the Mohicans for the first time on a big screen. I remember when I watched that, I was just like, oh my gosh. It's like, I'm on the East Coast. You know, for me, it was awesome. But when I went and saw Avatar, just the way that things fell in, you know, I was always wanting that throw out feeling. I think the last 3D movie I watched was My Bloody Valentine 3D, the one with the guy Dean from Supernatural in it. And I just remember all those 3D experiences where I practically had to sit there and make my eyes go lazy just to try to feel like I had a small glimpse. It was like a bad mushroom trip, you know? Am I having visuals? I don't know. Oh, I'm staring really hard. I got to relax. I don't know. I can't. You're sitting there and you're so focused on, am I really seeing anything? You're not enjoying the movie. And that, to me, always bothered me about 3D. And that was why I felt like it was so gimmicky when I was younger. It was like, I heard something was in 3D. I don't want to watch that. You know, that's how it was. I just don't want, no. I don't want to have to sit there and try to focus two images to make it look right, because the whole time I'm going to be scratching my head.
No, you weren't on a bad acid trip. Jar Jar was always like that. well, no, for me, I guess 3D, there have been times where it's worked well for me and times where it hasn't. I mean, Blackthorne did those three Star Wars 3D comics back, and I guess it was, what, 87, 88? I know it was a few years prior to the launch of the modern EU in 91, but it was a short time after the end of the Marvel Comics series, like Star Wars comics kind of laying in limbo, and they wind up creating these three rather odd stories, one of which is on Hoth, and one of which, oddly enough, winds up giving us some backstory about what happens to the Lars Moisture Farm after Luke leaves. It gets referenced in the X-Wing books, but...
Oh.
I find that was the old red and, you know, the red and blue kind. First off, you had to make sure you didn't lose your glasses or you were just stuck. And those work for me to a degree. I wear glasses. My eyes have different prescriptions at this point.
That's so, my mom.
Yeah, I mean, I can see with it, but sometimes it's hard for me to actually read the lettering on things like that. I mean, I can see the images and that 3D effect. And it's a very simplistic 3D effect. You can almost make your own 3D very easily with Photoshop with something like that. But, you know, it is difficult to read. I always had that problem with it. I almost always had to basically close one eye and just view it. Kind of like those old, what were they, like Transformers and G.I. Joe, those little sticker books you could get, like at drugstores, where you buy the little sticker packs and everything, and then have those little red... just the red eye from a 3D thing. You could lay it over the little scrambled pictures and see stuff. I used to have to do that just to be able to read the story. I got a little bit more into feeling as though 3D could kind of work when Valiant Comics, which I don't even think is Valiant Comics anymore, Valiant put out this thing called Valiant Vision. And it's these weird 3D glasses that basically separate colors. And they don't look – I mean, it's not like red and blue. They're basically clear glasses, but you put them on.
I remember that.
Yeah, where the red jumps out at you and the dark colors recede backwards. It can basically turn anything into 3D except whether it looks right at all depends on whether the dominant colors are red. But what they did with that, I mean, they did those comics where the lettering was red. And you had stuff like – what was it? Solar, I guess, was the character's name, where he's usually dressed in red. So that made sense.
Red looked like, he looked like Cyclops.
Yeah, exactly. Like Cyclops on a bad hair day, so he like covers himself up, or a bad clothing day or something. It's all in the wash. And it's just, you know, that kind of thing, that kind of stuff really, really felt gimmicky to me. And yeah, I mean, it was one of those things where it's like, it's 3D, it could work. And they're still doing that, the anaglyph, the red and blue glasses thing. There was a recent release of a Clone Wars storybook with the red and blue glasses. But
well,
I think...
And my kids, they have Shrek, Monsters versus Aliens. You know, the movies and stuff that still come out with 3D versions. But again, I put on those glasses and I'm just like, am I really seeing anything? I mean, you just sit there to become such a mind game that it's like, is this really worth the entertainment factor?
Yeah, and I think the trick is, I mean, honestly, for me, just going to see The Phantom Menace in 3D, you're talking about, like, you know, is it worth the money? I mean, to me, going to the theater at all just about nowadays, not really worth the money. In this area, I don't know if Riley and Bethany had the same experience, but you get a lot of the little kids unrestrained bouncing around. You still have the people pulling out the phones. I don't know how many times they tell you, turn off your phones and be polite, but people still mess with them. I almost feel as though, at least I'm going now to this theater. The theater I used to go to was literally like the end of that episode of Robot Chicken where the kids are talking and the woman comes up and says, shush, I'm trying to watch these trailers, y'all. I'm just kidding. You go, trailers. I mean, it's really bad where I used to go. of course, that's also the place that got shut down a couple times because of various health issues. So probably should have been a sign to me not to go to that place anymore.
The forest was speaking to you.
Was speaking to you. Stay away from it.
Mine, when we went, it was just me, my two kids, and then right before it started, I think the first preview, a grandma and her grandson came in. They sat down. They didn't stay the entire movie. They obviously had some issues with the glasses. They came and went three different times and were trying out different glasses, but they were all the same glass. It was the same plastic little – oh, I hate those glasses. But then there was another couple that came in, and they sat kind of closest because my daughter was insistent. We sat in the very back right below the thing. We were dead center all the way back. And – you know, so we had it all to ourselves. It was kind of bittersweet in that regard. I mean, I liked having it all to myself, but I missed the experience of like when I went and saw episode 3 on my birthday at midnight. You know, that just, you know, for me, going to my small town and having that many Star Wars fans come out of the woodwork was awesome. What I had for episode 1 is what I was expecting, you know, two people. But so it's kind of like, you know, you're like, man, I had the whole theater to myself, but at the same time, it's like, where's everybody loving Star Wars at, man? Where are you guys at?
That was kind of the way that it was around here. You had a lot of – I mean, it didn't seem like there were a lot of diehard Star Wars fans really in there so much as you had – you know, I went on a Saturday afternoon, so we had, you know, a few families in there with the little kids. It was funny to see that it kind of the old argument about Jar Jar still stands, which is, you know, it's there for the comic relief. And maybe the fact that we're Star Wars fans, we've been diehard fans for so long, we've seen these movies over and over again, it takes any comic relief factor of Jar Jar and just makes it annoying. Whereas these people were cracking up. You know, Excuse Me got laughs like crazy. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow, have you guys not seen this very often? Is this your first time? Because that got old for me a long time ago. But that's the thing. You know, we tend to look at it, I guess, with no pun intended, I guess, since we're talking 3D, rose-colored glasses on the stuff we like, but just despise the things that we don't, as opposed to being able to take it all as one whole, I guess, as a new viewer would. But no, I think that
that was the other thing that I came away with different. I haven't seen the saga in Blu-ray yet, so I haven't seen all the new changes, but there were things that I'm pretty sure have always been there that I was catching for the first time. When the Gungans were fighting the droid army and the droid army were all shutting down, there was little droids in the midst of them. I don't remember ever seeing them before, but they look like they've been there the whole time. I don't know. I mean, there were things like that where I was like, I don't ever remember seeing these before. Is this new? So I've got to go out and rent it on Blu-ray now that I've got the player, because there's a lot. I recall you were talking on Facebook about the sounds where like when Palpatine's talking and stuff, the sounds that you were hearing on your stereo system were completely new to you. And so it's like, I don't know how much of that was me seeing that or what they were tuning my eye to see through the 3D effect, because that was something Riley was talking about, how the way they kind of layered these shots is, you know, well, what's going to draw the eye? And there was definitely some drawing of the eye going on for me, but I don't know which of it was stuff that was added to the Blu-ray edition and which was, you know, added to the 3D just specifically for the 3D effect.
You know, I don't think there was much, if anything, done 3D-wise. I think they basically said it was all conversion, but I'll tell you, having the opposite experience here, you were saying how it seemed like some stuff was blurry and some stuff was not, you know, whether it was possibly a side effect of the 3D effect being used. I'll tell you, getting in there and watching this film, hearing the sound the way that it was set up in this theater, I don't know if they had the sound mix wrong or if this is the way it was meant to be and so many of the sounds are coming from the forward speakers specifically because there's that 3D effect there. You're supposed to feel like it is that close in front of you or what. But I'll tell you, between the sound mix, the way that it was set up, and the 3D effect being used that sometimes does kind of blur the background a little bit more with the glasses and everything. And I was having the same issue with, you know, the reflection of my glasses on the inside of the 3D glasses. I got to tell you, I was disappointed with the lack of clarity because seeing these things on Blu-ray kind of spoils you. And at this point, if it's not coming through crystal clear, I'm sitting back there thinking, why am I watching this here? Which, again, is why... going back to this question of viability, it's very gimmicky, some would say, in theaters now. So, like, the thing to do is let's have a movie that's a big budget movie and let's make it 3D, whether it's a conversion after the fact or it's actually shooting it in 3D. But let's do that. You know, it's going to ramp up the ticket price and everything, but, you know, the tickets are still not as much as the combo drink and chips or whatever that you may be buying. But when you bring these things home, I think there's a chance to combine Blu-ray experience, which is always much better sound, or almost always, much better sound, much better visuals, with the 3D effect. The trick to that, to me, has always been, is it affordable? Because, I mean, just going to see the movies doesn't seem affordable to me in a sense because, I mean, man, that's some pretty high ticket prices overall. And for the experience that you get and for me having to drive to go to it, I don't feel like I usually necessarily get my money's worth. I think on the day I saw it, I posted on Facebook basically saying, you know, was it worth the trip? Was it worth the cash if you count the ticket and the food and everything there? Probably not. But is it worth the Blu-ray buy at home? Absolutely. Because to me, it was always a question of, is it affordable at home? And I don't know about some of these auto stereoscopic 3D TVs that they're talking about, the ones that do the 3DS effect where you don't need the glasses. I don't think I could do that because I couldn't sit staring at the TV for that long. And you really do kind of have to just be watching it to watch a 3D film because you're not going to use the glasses while you're doing other things very often. But Sony did this thing. It actually got delayed, I think it was. Sony has put out a 24-inch high definition, 1080p, you know, full high definition television that they call, it's not just a regular Sony 3D TV because those are kind of expensive, but this one is, it's labeled as the Sony PlayStation 3D display. It was $400 when it came out. You basically get the TV, MotorStorm Apocalypse, which is a racing game. You get a high speed HDMI cable because you have to have a high speed one to use 3D. And you wind up with one pair of the glasses, these shutter-based glasses here that allow you to use the 3D effect and whatnot. I forget what it's – active shutter, I think, is what the technology is called. But you get all those, $400. Best Buy has it these days for $300. And, you know, my HD TV that I had that was actually an inch or two smaller than that just by itself was like $425 a few years ago. So now it seems to me it's starting to become a little more affordable, at least in certain little doses. Like that kind of TV with a 3D effect you can actually get that's decent. The 3D glasses, I know a lot of different 3D TVs, getting replacement glasses or extra glasses beyond whatever comes with it, if there is one with it. A lot of times people are talking about how they're $80, $90, whatever. These, with this display, the Sony one, $30 for one extra pair of glasses. Now that still is like, holy crap, $30 for a pair of glasses? But they're rechargeable through the USB, and with this particular display, this is another reason why I thought it was so cool when I picked this thing up, Sony is doing this thing called SimulView. 3D, I think, is much more viable for gaming than it is for movies. We'll get into that here in a bit because, you know, the 3DS and the issue of Lego Star Wars and why aren't there more Star Wars games being set up in 3D? Why not something like Kinect Star Wars and such? But they do a thing called SimulView because the idea is that this TV is transmitting two different images. And when you put on the 3D glasses, that active shutter technology makes it so that one eye sees one of these images, the other eye sees the other of these images as it's filtering it in, and seeing those two images, when it combines with your brain and everything, gives you that 3D effect, which works really, really well, especially on things shot in 3D. But the other thing you can do is, with this particular TV, and I think it's just for this TV, maybe not, but I know that it's definitely something that they developed and really hyped up about this particular TV. Say you're playing a video game, whether it's maybe another racer game or, hey, Bombad Racing 2 or whatever. when you have that particular game out, if you have a game that is split-screen multiplayer, which means that you have more than one person sitting there in the same place trying to play a two-player game where you both need to see your own points of view, usually it means you each get like half a screen and that's it. Maybe even less than half a lot of the time nowadays because they have to shift it so that the aspect ratio stays correct. But what this will do is it will pump out one image as if it's going to – let's say your eyes are A and B, okay? And a 3D movie uses A and B, one for each eye, and gives you the 3D effect. What this will do, because the glasses can change based on whatever signal it's getting, it can pump out one of your multiplayer screens as A, the other one as B, not in 3D, but in 2D. One is A, one is B, and depending on what you click on your glasses, you're either seeing all A or all B. You
can both
be
awesome.
Both be playing supposed split screen multiplayer with a full screen where you're seeing just your side of it on the entire television, and the other person sees just their side of it. And if you want, click a button, you see their side.
Hey, that sounds like a cool technology just for channel surfing too. I mean, could you imagine having your own headset with two audio pump outs where you're watching, say, the NFL or Star Wars on Spike and your wife is watching E or whatever? Oh, man, the limits that technology is wide open. Oh, that sounds so cool.
Oh, I loved it. I mean, we haven't done it much. It only works for certain games. Right now, I know MotorStorm Apocalypse that comes with the TVs showcases that technology. I haven't used it with any others. They got to be special, specific games that can do that. But it kind of shows
hard though for somebody else to watch you play though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, it's the same thing with movies though. I mean, if I'm watching, you know, if I put in Resident Evil Afterlife, or if I put in, I already said Tron, what was the other one I had? Green Lantern. If I put any of those in and I'm watching it with the 3D glasses on, nobody else should even try watching it because it's going to give you a headache. And that's the same thing. You know, if I'm in the theater and I take my 3D glasses off, the blurring effect to me is going to cause a problem. It's not as blurring, I guess, but you know, it's still going to cause headache issues, more so than perhaps even trying to read one of those old red and blue 3D, you know, stereoscopic, I call it autoglyph or whatever I just called it a minute ago, whatever the actual technical term is, it's escaped my brain right now, trying to read one of those by itself.
Now, these 3D movies that come out on this, you know, we're talking about the viability here, how does it work on the disc? Okay, my kids, again, they've got the Shrek 3D Christmas special, or whichever one it was, Shrek 3D. You can watch the regular version in 2D or the 3D one. Is that an option when you watch the 3D ones on your home setup? I mean,
yes and no.
Or are you hosed and you have to always watch it with the 3D? Because it'd be nice to shut it off on occasion. Because like you were saying, with the Blu-ray, you know, sometimes the quality of the Blu-ray is better. And I'm discovering with Blu-ray, I really like the quality. And that was the same thing for me, was when I was sitting in the theater and I was like, man, this is all blurry. I should have rented this on Blu-ray. And for a moment there, I forgot that my kids hadn't seen it in the theater. And I was like, man, I just wasted 40-something bucks. And then I was like, well, no, my kids have never done – my kids had a blast. I mean, I could have had a just complete terrible time. The movie could have got burned up halfway through it. My kids were just ecstatic to go out to the theater with their dad and see their dad's favorite movie. You know, they'd seen it 108 times as well, and it didn't matter. This was their first time seeing it in the theater, and that was all that mattered to them. And so that made it awesome for me. But I would just – I'm going to look forward to renting it on Blu-ray because of that quality aspect of it. I just can't wait, man. I'm all excited about it. Just thinking about it, I want to rush down and go get there, but I'm already 2 minutes late. Dang it. Oh.
You know, you're not necessarily you said, you know, do you have to watch it in 3D or not? It's kind of a yes or no kind of thing, because generally what I'm seeing with these, and granted, I've only had this thing for a very short time, so I've only managed to pick up the three, though I'm tempted to go trade in or sell off my Deathly Hallows 1 and 2 Harry Potter films to get the 3D version of those instead, or Thor or something. But what I'm finding is, you know, like a lot of times you can buy just the DVD, or you can buy the combo pack of DVD and Blu-ray, which usually has that digital copy in it too. What I'm finding is that when you want to get the 3D film, it's not that you're buying the 3D film. You're buying a combo pack for about $5 to $10 more, usually about $5 is what I'm finding, to get this 3D combo pack. And what you do is when you open it up, you've got the DVD and your digital copy or whatever, and the regular Blu-ray, and the Blu-ray 3D. And for instance, take Green Lantern as a good example. This is the last one that I watched in 3D at home. With Green Lantern, you've got the digital copy that you can stream from wherever it is. You got the DVD in there. And they advertise it as Green Lantern, the extended cut. But you don't see the words extended cut on the front cover of the DVD or the Blu-ray 3D slipcase, just the regular Blu-ray version. And what happens is, the regular Blu-ray disc is in there, and the regular Blu-ray disc has all your bonus features and is the extended cut, because the extended cut never got a 3D effect because that wasn't the version it was in theaters. But then there's a separate disc that is just the Blu-ray 3D with no, well, at least almost no bonus features whatsoever. And it seems like that's the same way with Tron Legacy, I believe it was. But on the other hand, you have releases like Resident Evil Afterlife, and in that case, it's you pick. Do you want to watch it in 3D or regular off that same disc? Blu-ray capacity is amazing. It's the same reason why, you know, we're not going to get into the console wars thing here, but I am a major proponent of how over the last few years, I think it's become a no-brainer that if you were to buy a game system now and you have the choice Xbox 360 or PS3, unless there are some exclusives that push you towards Xbox 360 for some reason, like Gears of War that you absolutely must play, as opposed to things like Uncharted that you must play on Sony, I can't imagine someone purposely not choosing to go with the PS3. The 3D Blu-ray player, for example, built into the system. But that's one of the things that Blu-ray really does well, is those discs have so high a capacity that on games you're starting to see things like when Dead Space 2 came out. Well, Dead Space 2 for Xbox 360 was Dead Space 2. Dead Space 2 for PS3 was Dead Space 2, and here's the bonus Dead Space extraction game for free attached to it. They're frequently adding extra material to those releases because those Blu-ray discs have such high capacity, which is where you can put two different versions of a movie on it if they want to do it that way. But it seems like a lot of companies must be just finding it easier to just give you the regular Blu-ray disc and the 3D Blu-ray separately than to take the time to author something where they've got a separate disc with, you know, two versions on it. I'm assuming that it's a production side thing, because otherwise it would seem weird that they would give you an extra disc rather than just one that happens to have both of them.
We just got one of those the other day, Lady and the Tramp. We got a Blu-ray, and it came with the digital copy, and it came with the DVD copy. And honestly, I enjoyed that, because now my kids can watch it in their bedroom on the old DVD player that we bought for them. I can watch it in my bedroom on that one, or we could watch it out in the living room on Blu-ray, or we could do it at the same time. So that was cool, too. But I do like the idea. And see, I'm one of those widescreen versus full-screen people. I mean, don't give me a full-screen. I will, you know, trash it.
Amen.
And I love those discs. They give you the option. You know, I hate the ones where you got to flip one side or the other, because if it gets scratched, you're kind of hosed. I don't know. I mean, yeah, you kind of get away with it, but, you know, there's all those different options. And so I like the idea that they give you the extra one too, but, you know, I wonder where they go with that. But, you know, there's something else I want to talk about real fast. You know, we do talk about gimmicks with the 3D, and there was one thing about watching The Phantom Menace that I wished they would have done. Granted, Lucas gets a lot of flack for going back and tinkering with things, but I really thought that this of all times would be a good time to go back and tinker with a lightsaber battle. I mean, what an opportunity that would have been to have one or two lightsaber scenes where, you know, they added a scene here or there, or just enhanced a scene that was already there. I mean, granted, I would love to see, say, Darth Maul throw his double-bladed lightsaber at Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan in the fight, and it comes right at you. But, you know, I think about, you know, as they get to the original trilogy, the option of doing that for, say, you know, the Death Star battle between Obi-Wan and Vader. Anybody can don a Vader costume, and anybody can put on Obi-Wan's costume. Nowadays, they can even graft old Obi-Wan's face right onto another person. I mean, I just think that could have been played with a little bit more. I mean, granted, it's a dangerous rope right about now for George. You know, I've got that The People versus George Lucas on DVD. I started watching it. It's kind of funny, but, you know, I could see where he's coming from with his worry about fans just being overly critical. But I think it would have been fun. I mean, I hear all these people that went and saw it where they felt like the pod race scene was jumping out at him and stuff. And that's where I'm disappointed, because the way I saw it in the theater, I just didn't feel like it was really working. And in that regard, it really kind of tainted the fun. I mean, it was still a good time, but it just wasn't as fun as I felt it could have been. And so, you know, in that aspect, it would have been nice to see the gimmick played up a little more. I don't know. I think it could have been done. What about you, Nathan?
I don't know. I think it depends, because we just got the Blu-ray changes. And if they had done that quite that quickly with yet another version, I think people who bought the Blu-rays would have been angry. Especially if they're going to wind up, as I hope, releasing these things as 3D Blu-rays year to year, basically as, I guess, hype for the next one, so that we don't have to wait for a full set of all six films with the 3D discs later. Because who knows if we're even still going to be using Blu-ray at that point.
True.
But, you know, there are some things that would have looked cool. You know, I would love to see the trench scene in Episode 4 done in really well-done 3D. Or zipping through the Death Star in Return of the Jedi would be awesome in 3D. Or, if nothing else, just the opening image of Revenge of the Sith that's going to make you feel like you're falling down towards Coruscant. On the other hand, you know, you got to be careful with the gimmicks. I'm reminded of the Captain EO thing, you know, with the 3D, with the smoke. I mean, imagine if Obi-Wan jumps out, grabs Qui-Gon's lightsaber, and you hear, you know, Darth Maul's, or his ook or whatever sound you want to make, and this, and they actually like spray red colored water from out from underneath the screen at everybody, you know, like a little mist.
I could just see Return of the Jedi. Now die! The force lightning, everybody's seats got a buzzer. Whoa!
Exactly. Exactly. Stuff like that. Like everybody starts shaking or anything. I don't know. It just, it seems like the there's the gimmick angle, but I think Star Wars, they didn't overdo it. And a lot of people are complaining that it did not seem like it jumped out as much as it could have, which, again, it's based on, from my understanding, whether it's filmed in 3D versus whether it's converted. A lot of times when you convert it, it looks a lot more gimmicky if you try to make something stick out because it wasn't meant to in the original filmic version, if that's even a word. But I think in this case, they did it pretty well. I mean, they did it in an understated sort of way. It gave you that sense of depth. Yeah, it wasn't jumping out at you, but it did feel like the depth was there, especially on something like the opening crawl and, you know, the shots of Coruscant and whatnot. But I don't know. He's definitely in a position where if he tinkers too much with it, I think it's going to cause issues. I think they'd be much better just adding a little bit more of the popping out type of 3D to it. Just a little bit, rather than having it, you know, jump out too much. You know, kind of like something where Anakin, you know, was reaching out to grab the little piece of his pod racer that came off that felt at least a little bit like it was coming out at you. Rather than either doing it overblown and making it look really fakey with the different layers, or reshooting something or actually redoing a scene to give us something new just to force that depth. Because for all we know, it's going to wind up being, look, it's R2-D2 behind even more 3D rocks. Isn't that cool? And they turn to their side and go, see, the rocks are gone. It's magic. And
it's no. The Force.
Yes, and I know Lucas always intended for those rocks to be there and then disappear when it turned around. It's magic rocks. It has to do with midichlorians or something. I'm sure we'll find out someday. I'm sure it'll all happen on Mortis, too. But I don't know. I think from a viability perspective, if this is kind of what our crux is here, because I guess that's what sparked our conversation initially and why we wanted to do this episode, I would argue that Star Wars, from a viability standpoint or for any kind of viability with 3D, theaters, yeah, it gives you that big experience. You know, you feel like you're actually going and purposely doing something different. I think at home, we're still, even if the prices come down with that the system that I've got, for instance, I still don't think we're necessarily to the point where people who don't have a PS3 to play Blu-ray 3Ds are going to actually go out and buy a 3D Blu-ray player and a 3D television. I think the expense of multiplying like that is probably not going to happen. I'm not sure how viable it is for home movie watching. But I will say, I think the 3DS with its 3D screen, the auto stereoscopic screen where you don't have to necessarily have glasses, you just look straight at it, and the Sony PlayStation 3D screen and how they've integrated 3D into quite a few of their games. Uncharted 3, for instance, looks phenomenal. I mean, it's already a gorgeous game, but looks phenomenal in 3D. I would say that since you're already, you know, I said, you know, with you're watching a 3D movie, you don't want to be doing anything else because you're going to be walking around in those glasses, makes it kind of hard to see. If you were using an audio stereoscopic screen, you'd still have to look straight on at it. Otherwise, it's going to blur. I think when you're playing a game, you're already focusing your attention on that screen. In that sense, you're already sort of a captive audience. And I think 3D would work and does work a heck of a lot more better for that. More better? Wow. A heck of a lot better or more viably. That's even a word. I'm just making up words all kinds of tonight. I think that's a much more viable means of using 3D in the home than if we were trying to watch movies all the time with it. I mean, the movie thing is cool and all, but how often is it that you're going to sit down and watch a movie with the 3D glasses on? You know, Jody and I, for instance, my girlfriend and I, have not sat down and watched a 3D movie together. We tried out the whole MotorStorm thing with the different, you know, SimulView, whatnot, just to kind of see how that went and everything. But we haven't, you know, sat down to watch, you know, Tron Legacy or anything like that, because, you know, she looks at the glasses like, really? You're really going to have me wearing glasses to watch this thing? For real? and, of course, for me, you know, I do need to turn the lights down quite a bit because I need to be able to see the screen rather than my own glasses reflecting back. But gaming-wise, it works really, really well, the sense of depth that's there. And this brings up the question that I think bears asking, because we're leading up into, I guess, this month, having the release of the Kinect Star Wars game. There is a PlayStation game called Medieval Moves Deadman's Quest. And Medieval Moves has you using the PlayStation Move controller and basically you're moving your arms and such, and it, by doing so, is moving your character around. And it's kind of like what's going on with Star Wars Kinect, where you don't necessarily control a lot of your forward, backward movement. That's all automatic, but you're using the Force and everything with the way that it's tracking your movements, the same way the Move controllers do to track your movements on Deadman's Quest. And that game is also in 3D. If you want to play it in 3D, put the glasses on, game is in 3D. It gives you that sense of depth while you're also moving with it, really giving you a sense of immersion. Why not a Star Wars game like Kinect Star Wars, or hopefully something better than that, that gives us 3D as a Star Wars game and gives us a form of motion control and that type of immersion? I think we are entering territory for prime potential for a Star Wars gaming experience like no other when it comes to immersion. Give us something with a story, the quality of The Force Unleashed, graphics, the quality of The Force Unleashed. Give us 3D, give us motion controls of some kind, probably move-based because you'd need the 3D or something like that, and let us feel that we're a part of the universe, much more so than just going and seeing the films. But it doesn't seem like it's happening. It doesn't seem like there's any movement with Lucasfilm to go towards anything 3D with Star Wars beyond, at least at this point, that one Lego game and what we see with The Phantom Menace and then the other films in theaters. Are they missing the boat, or is the timing not quite right yet? And what am I missing that this doesn't seem like a no-brainer to them?
I don't know, because when it comes to the gaming side of things, I'm still wondering why we don't have a Rogue Squadron, the New Jedi Order, why we don't have Battlefront 3. There's so many no-brainers out there that it's like, really? Why aren't these games out there? There's obviously a market. You know, maybe it is the technology's not quite there yet, or maybe it's just the focus on Lucas's end of the division is more towards the TV shows still and that side of the technology. But I think you're right, though. I think that this is definitely a direction in gaming, especially. You know, I don't have any of the next-gen systems, but I'm looking forward to getting one soon. And the idea of immersing yourself into these games and the way that the HD of TVs have come so far, you know, the looks and the textures and stuff are so great. So I can really see the 3D effects working phenomenally in the games, but especially with, like you said, you're a captive audience to most games. Usually you're watching the character in whichever form the character's at. So I could see that working a lot. I think we're about out of time, though, today. Unless you had any other last-minute topic suggestions and things of that nature?
No, just that there is the great irony. Don't forget, folks, if you are going to try the Star Wars gaming, I know I've mentioned the LEGO Star Wars 3, The Clone Wars, is in 3D on the 3DS. But remember, even though Nintendo does aim that system at younger audiences with a lot of kid-friendly and family-friendly games like that LEGO Star Wars, don't forget that there is a warning involved. 3DS is not to be used with a 3D mode on for anyone 6 years old or younger, because as the boxes say, viewing 3D images by children 6 and under may cause vision damage. So there is a parental feature to actually shut that off. So try this maybe with the older kids if you're talking the auto stereoscopic stuff. I think the stuff with glasses is fine for the younger kids, but the other stuff, not so much.
I mean, when you were talking about the way that it worked and the way the image bounced off your brain, I was sitting there going, wow, that's a lot going on a person. How is this going to work after about 5 hours of play? Are they going to come away just completely cross-eyed or something? That's scary stuff. I got a 7-year-old. Sorry, bud, you can't play the awesome epic adventure because it might hose you for life.
Maybe that's why they dropped the price on the 3DS from $250 to like $180 or $170 or whatever it is now, so that you can pay for all the glasses later in life.
Oh, man.
LASIK surgery included with the package.
Oh, ouch.
Quite so.
We better hope that's not the case. All right. Remember, you can find our show at www.starwarsreport.com, as well as on iTunes, Zune, and Middle Earth Network Radio. If you like the show, be sure to drop us a review on iTunes or the Zune Marketplace, or just fire us off an email. You can email us at starwarsbeyondthefilms@starwarsfanworks.com. Be sure to interact with us on Facebook at Star Wars Beyond the Films, as well as Twitter at SW Beyond Films. Once again, this is Mark Herleman with Nathan P. Butler. Thank you for listening, and may the Force be with you. And don't quote us the odds.